Talking Flicks with JT and Grant Lee.
Yes, that's our Talking Flicks to episode. Mr. Lee, are you ready to go for this week's movie?
I certainly am, JT. Look, I'm excited about this one. I did plan to go see it on the weekend, I will say, and I ended up going seeing Thelma.
What?
Which was a little bit different. I know. I don't know how I ended up in Thelma, but the group of people I was with, we ended up going to that. And then we're going to do Beetlejuice straight after, but my wife sent me off shopping, so I had to go shopping.
You didn't go with the Bowl Society, did you? Is that what you did, Mr. Lee? Was the Tamworth Bowl Society? No. Was that who you got stuck with?
Can I just say, Thelma was actually quite a good movie. I actually enjoyed it. It was fun. It was different. But we're not talking about that one tonight.
No, it's Beetlejuice.
Yes. Yeah. So, after 36 years, can you believe it? 36 years ago, the first one came out. And they actually had a few times they tried to get up a sequel back in the 90s, and it never happened. But I'm so pleased they have. So let's have a listen to the trailer.
Here's a preview. Be warned. It's intense.
I can't believe Grandpa's dead.
Death is hard.
Yeah, sometimes I think life is harder.
When I was a teenager, a trickster demon terrorized our entire family and tried to force me to marry him. I believed he was gone forever until you found this in the attic.
Ew. Who's Beetlejuice?
Don't ever say that name.
Beetlejuice.
No, Astrid! I am serious! If you say his name three times, he will appear.
Beetlejuice.
The juice is loose.
I'm gonna make you so happy.
The living. The dead. Can they coexist? That's what we're here to find out.
Where is Beetlejuice?
Where's Beetlejuice?
Feel free to express yourself. Don't be afraid.
You're a figment of my imagination.
Really? Is this a figment of your imagination?
Yes, Mr. Lee, the juice is loose. It kind of sounds like your slogan. Right? Well, what a movie. Beetlejuice.
What a movie. Don't say that anymore. We don't want to hear it one more
just
time.
Once, we just do once it. This time. Yes, but a special welcome to our Talking Flickster for this week. He really needs no introduction, this guy, Mr. Lee.
No, he certainly doesn't, because he's such a great guy. He has done a podcast before with us, which I can't remember what it was now. He might be able to tell
it
us anyway.
So, Duncan,
oh, there he is. Oh. We hadn't even intro him yet. He's coming in. He wanted to correct us. Yeah. He's correcting you, Mr. Lee, because, again, your research is already, you've stuffed up already. So, this.
I know. I should have researched and found out. What was it, Duncan, that you watched before?
Sorry to cut in. Yeah, it was Blink Twice. That was the last one I did.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that's right. I was just testing to see if you knew. That was all.
Wouldn't be the first time we've done that, Mr. Lee. But, look, great to have you back. We did say, Mr. Lee, it was want to watch a movie with Duncan, right? That's the, you know, we want to have a beer with Duncan, watch
that's
a movie with
slogan.
Duncan.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't drink these days, so the movie sounds like a better option.
Well, we came up with that little slogan that we thought that would be a really good thing to say. We like that.
Hey, works for me.
Movie with Duncan. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Duncan, tell us your thoughts. You've seen the original. You were saying just off air that, you know, you actually did watch the first one the night before. So tell us what you thought of the movie.
There's, I know Beetlejuice is a real classic for a lot of people. You know, they would have watched it growing up, probably watch it every Halloween, where I'm a bit of a new jack. I really just watched it from memory. Like the most recent time I remember watching it was Friday night, just gone. I can't remember ever watching it in my life before that. So I feel very new to it. And I watched it, on the Friday night and saw the new movie on the Saturday night. So it's all kind of a big jumble in my head, but I'm pretty sure I can separate them enough. I had an awesome time. It was just so much fun. You know, I spent the whole movie just smiling. Like, it's hard not to. So many good actors in it, so many funny moments, the makeup, the characters, the sets, the music. I just think they really nailed what we want from a sequel to, you know, a classic movie from the 80s. There's so many movies now that are sequels and reboots, you know, remasters, whatever you want to call them all, and they don't always hit. They try to do too much, or they try to force in throwback lines that then feel a bit forced. Like there was one recently in Alien Romulus where, you know, you kind of smile, but you kind of roll your eyes as well because it feels like they're trying too hard. And I didn't feel like that at all in Beetlejuice. You know, like I said, I don't have this movie tattooed on my brain like a lot of people might that have watched it their whole lives. So, you know, I could go easier on it than some people that might compare the new one to the one that they've grown up loving. I didn't feel like it tried too hard. It had a really nostalgic feel. It had a lot of references to the original movie, but it didn't feel forced or fake or in there just for the sake of it. You know, it was really fun, wild ride. So, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Dunk, when it comes to Beetlejuice, the original and also the Beetlejuice, they're saying it's this cross of comedy, there's horror in it as well, so it's a bit of, you know, you're on the edge of your seat. How do you look at it? Because when I watch trailers and things like that for the movie, to me it just looks more like a good time. Like there is a lot more comedy than more of a horror element to it.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of funny moments, like Catherine O'Hara. She's definitely the highlight. She has the funniest lines. Beetlejuice himself is still as funny as he was in the original movie. Maybe not as awkwardly crude. Like, I know we're definitely in a different decade to the original movie, but I don't feel like it's trying to be too PC or anything either. But Beetlejuice probably just isn't as much of a creep or a perv as he used to be. Like at the time, back then, definitely fun. Like you can still watch it now and it's not like you're offended or anything. But I think in the new movie, he just doesn't go out of his way to be as sort of slimy. But still definitely funny. Who else? Rory, he's played by Justin Theroux. So he is close with Lydia, and like he's part of her show, and like he's just as dramatic and eccentric as Delia is. So yeah, just so many different characters just being funny and crazy all the time. I don't know if I'd say there's that many horror elements. It's probably more about like the themes, you know, like you're talking about death and the afterlife and, you know, so everything is kind of grim and dark and gross, but I wouldn't really say it's horror. Like you can take kids, it's a PG movie. They're not going to be scared. So I think if you want to show younger kids, you know, like Halloween fun and a spooky vibe, but you don't want to scare them, then I think it's a really good good place to start them.
So that sort of movie is definitely my type of movie, because I actually watched the original about a month ago with my wife and we loved it yet again, because I was lucky enough to watch it when I was a lot younger. So I'm sorry, Duncan, but yeah. I did. And then rewatching it, I really enjoyed it, and that's why I'm so excited to watch this one because I think it is something that Michael Keaton and Catherine O'Hara and Winona Ryder are Beetlejuice. They are the people who should be in it. And I'm so pleased that Catherine O'Hara has got a bigger part this time. She didn't have a big part in the first one, you may have noticed, but this one she's got a much bigger part, which is really good because she's brilliant. I don't know whether you saw Schitt's Creek. She was brilliant in that. She's just so talented, Catherine O'Hara.
Well, see, I've never watched Schitt's Creek. And with Catherine O'Hara, like I was saying before we started the episode, I grew up with Home Alone. Like, I've just seen it so many times. So I'll always picture her as Kevin's mum. And but then, like, my next image I have of her is the movie Orange County that had Jack Black and Colin Hanks. And in that, she's just a really crazy, over-the-top mum. So, yeah, she plays that role so well. And she's a lot more likable in Beetlejuice. Like, in the first movie, I guess you see her through Lydia's eyes more, where they kind of butt heads. But in the second movie, I guess maybe because Lydia's a bit older, maybe there are more, like, a relatable level. So I find her even more likable in the second movie. She's just as funny. She's just as crazy. Yeah, she's probably the highlight, I think.
Well, speaking of highlights, Michael Keaton. Now, Tim Burton, the director, he had always said that he wouldn't make another Beetlejuice unless he had Michael Keaton. And when you look at Beetlejuice, he is Beetlejuice. There could be nobody else that could play that character.
Yeah, I saw that Michael Keaton, he said back in like 2014 that this was the only sequel that he's interested in doing. And while I was looking around online, I think I saw, did they try and make a sequel at some point and it was going to be set in like a tropical location or?
Yeah. So that's going to be Beetlejuice in Hawaii.
there you go. So they must have.
Beetlejuice in Hawaii.
They must have pitched it at some point and, you know, maybe they had a bit of a script or an idea and it just didn't land. Yeah. But he obviously saw, you know, kind of the magic in the script for this one. And it's funny, like, you know, it was, 36 years ago, but it seems like he has more energy in the role now. Like, you see on Beetlejuice's face, like, you can tell, you know, that Michael Keaton's aged. It's inevitable. But he just, I don't know, he's got a bit more life to him. And, yeah, he's as funny as ever. He seems excited to play the role. Like, I've watched interviews with Michael Keaton, you know, for Beetlejuice, and he just seems really passionate about it. And you can see that come through in the character.
Yeah, which is really good. The thing, when you were saying that only Michael Keaton can play the role, there are so many people, like Ryan Reynolds, he can only play Deadpool. Like, there are so many people, Shrek, you know, that's another one. Michael Myers can only do the voice of that, and even Woody, you know, those sort of people can only do it. And if they don't have them on board, I don't think the movie would be half as good, and I don't think people would go. Where this, they know what Michael Keaton's like. They know he's going to be hilarious and, you know, play that part so well. And because it's kind of his part and no one knows how to play it, I think that's why he is so, what would you say, very skeptical about playing a part or going into a movie that, you know, isn't correct, like Ryan Reynolds. You know, he wouldn't do Deadpool unless it was correct and it was only going to go this way. He sacked one of the directors and said, no, you're not going to work. I know how this character's meant to play, just like Michael Keaton.
Yeah, when an actor plays a role that's just so important to so many people, like, you can tell that the character is sacred to the actor. Like, they don't want someone else to come in and take that character and butcher it. And, you know, it has been done before, and it's nice when you know, actors or directors or writers, they're protective of what they've created. So it's really good to see. And, you know, so many of the actors from the original came back for this movie, and they nail returning to that character. Like, it feels like that character has still existed in the town for 36 years. It doesn't feel like they're trying really hard to get back into the headspace of that character. It's like they've always been there. And there are some characters that aren't in the movie and like it explains why, and it doesn't feel forced. It feels natural. Like, you know, you see Charles from the original, but I don't know if everybody knows, but that actor, he's not really welcome to be in movies anymore for something that he did in his life. But they find a way around it. Like, his character's still present, but without using the actor. But they've sort of navigated that in really creative ways. I don't want to say too much more because I want people to be able to see it for themselves. But I just like how they brought back the right actors in the right roles, and the ones that they couldn't, they made it make sense.
Yeah, when we look at some of the actors and actresses in the movie, you've obviously got Keaton, you've got Winona Ryder, then you've got Catherine O'Hara. How about one of these up-and-comers, Jenna Ortega? I love her. I reckon she's fantastic. Mr. Lee, you would know her best from Adam's Family, wasn't it? I know her from Scream.
Wednesday.
How did she go in this film? Because just based off what I've seen, she's nailing it again.
She did really well. She feels like a natural in the world that they've built. You know, she really seems like she'd be the daughter of Lydia and the granddaughter of Delia. And if you've seen Wednesday, you kind of know what to expect. And, you know, it's like Lydia in the first movie. It's the angsty kind of brooding teenager. But you know, I think it's not just like Wednesday part two. There is some extra depth to her that you might not see in Wednesday. So it doesn't just feel like the same character again. It feels like she's kind of taken what she's delivered in Wednesday and built on that. So, yeah, I really liked her character. I really liked her story arc. There is like so many different storylines and plots kind of happening all at the same time. And not every storyline gets enough room to breathe, I feel. Like, everything kind of gets explored enough to make sense and wraps up. But there's certain storylines. One of them is Jenna Ortega's or Astrid's storyline that I wish there was more time spent on. But I know they also run the risk of having a movie too long. So, you know, they've got to balance it out right. But I really liked what we got from her. Like, I just feel like it would have been even nicer to see a bit more focus on her.
Yeah. Something you just mentioned that Wednesday character that Jenna Ortega did. I'm not giving anything away in the movie because it is in the trailer. Catherine O'Hara and Jenna actually choreographed that dancing scene that they did, because they did one in the original movie with that song. I can't think Dayo. Of that song off the top of my head.
Oh, yes. Is it Dayo?
Is Dayo it? At the dinner table.
Yeah. Well, they actually have another dancing type scene that's in something which we won't say where it is. And it is insane how they do it in sync. And they both worked on that dance together. And I thought, well, you know, that's pretty good. You know, someone who's new to the business, basically, where Catherine O'Hara has been in it for years. And it's so good that they actually worked together and got that dance down right.
Yeah, like Tim Burton already knew Jenna from Wednesday, so it makes a lot of sense that he would slot her into this movie. But, you know, there's so many actresses out there, I can't know them all, but I can't picture any that would kind of fit better than she did in this role. So, yeah, I think they made the right choice getting her in.
Well, let's talk about Tim Burton and another amazing job he's done in this movie, directing it. He also did Batman, Frankenweenie. Alice in Wonderland, which, I'm going to be honest, I still think it's the crappiest movie ever. It really is. I do not know what he did to that movie. He makes quirky movies, doesn't he? Because that is what he does. That's what he's good at doing.
Yeah. Look, I wouldn't say I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. You know, I like Nightmare Before Christmas. What else? I can't really think of that many that I gravitate towards, just because he does have a certain style, and he likes kind of like the gothic and the strange, and I can appreciate that. But because a lot of his movies have a very similar style, and he uses a lot of the same actors, like he loves Helena Bonham Carter and he loves Johnny Depp. So I think you've kind of got to be – you've really got to love him, I think, to watch every movie he has. But you know, what he did in the original, kind of that magic he created, he definitely found that again for this sequel.
Is really good, because I actually know Tim Burton directed Dumbo. And how good was that movie? Oh, yeah. That was a real-life movie. And another one that they shouldn't have done was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, that's another one.
Back in 2005, they should never have touched.
Johnny the original Depp again. Was,
yeah, and they should never have touched that. But
and see, that's that example of a remake that they don't need to do, and they try and quirk it up, but to a point where it kind of loses its original magic and identity. But yes, which is he definitely didn't do that this time, is my point.
Which is good, because we want, you know, people to go and enjoy something that is a bit quirky. But now, Duncan, the big question. Out of 5 Choc Tops, how many do you give this Beetlejuice?
Oh, look, I've been thinking about it all night, and I'm tossing up between 4 and 4.5 out of 5. And why I stick around there is, you know, 5 out of 5 is a perfect movie. It's pretty rare we would see a movie where we go, that's perfect. And if we're gonna compare the sequel to the original and say the Beetlejuice, the original, is a 5 out of 5, then I'd say, yeah, around 4, 4.5 for this one, because it does so many things right. The pros far outweigh any cons. The only kind of negatives that I could see is that because there is so much happening, some storylines and some characters that you really want to get to know more and see more of, they just don't have the time on screen that they need. But that's really the only complaint. Like, it's just fun start to finish, lots of laughing, just the visuals and the world they've created. It's just so fun to be in for the whole movie. Look, I'll just be generous, because, I mean, I'm saying so many positive things about it, so it's obvious how much I enjoyed it. So I'll go 4.5 out of 5.
4.5, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
I was going to say, Dunk, we can't have any fence sitters on this podcast. So.
No, yeah. We don't give out quarter points.
No, we don't.
No. No.
You can't quarter a Choc Top, mate. It would crumble. So
that's right. But look, keep in mind, people listening, like I said, I'm not a lifelong fan of this movie. So people might hear like my really positive review and go and see it and be like, oh, but that's you know, not on par with the movie I grew up with. And that's fine. Everyone can have that opinion. I'm basing it off being like a new fan. But yeah, I just had such a good time. And I think even if you compared it to the original, you'd be hard pressed not to have an awesome time watching it.
No worries. Well, Duncan, thank you so much for going and watching the movie. We do really appreciate it. If you want to be involved in our podcast and be a talking flickster, all you got to do is head to the odeon5.com.au website or the forum6.com.au website. Click on Talking Flicks on the banner at the top and just fill in the details and we'll contact you. So make sure you go and do it.
Now, Dunk, just before we let you go, last week I made a big call on our regular podcast. I did predict that Beetlejuice would knock Deadpool Wolverine off at the box office this week. It's been very hard to do. Mr. Lee doesn't seem to think that's going to be the case. So are you Team Lee or Team JT, Dunk? Which way are you heading with this one?
I think it's going to do really well. I looked at the numbers today. I don't know like if it's up to date today or not, but the budget was $100 million and it's done $147 million already worldwide. So to already kind of, go way past its budget and make that money back already, and that's just on the first week, I think it's, I think it'll go to the top.
Well, we'll find out on Friday. We'll find out who's doing the nudie run. No, it won't be me. Don't worry.
It won't be me. No, it's not me.
Do you know something I don't, Mr. Lee? Don't you give it away.
No, I'm not giving anything away, but I'm not doing it. I want people to come into the cinema. I don't want to drag them.
Hopefully it won't be a cold day that day.
Yeah, don't worry, Dunk. It's a cold day every day for Mr. Lee. Okay, so we'll catch you on Friday at midday for our Talking Flicks podcast. Duncan, Mr. Lee, thank you very much. Have a great week, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Want more Talking Flicks? Get your fix with every episode anywhere, anytime. Just search Talking Flicks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.